I sat in the orientation session of our church mission trip to Henderson Settlement in Frakes, Kentucky. Jerry Lambden, the work camp director, was preparing us for our assignments. One of his instructions resonates with me to this very day. He said, "The times allowed for you to complete the projects you've been assigned will seem overly generous. There's a reason for that. Many of the places you will be working need more than structural repairs. The extra time is allowed that you might minister to the people as well as to the structures. Take the time to hear their stories and to share your own." In the story of Philip and the Ethiopian, an angel of the Lord tells Philip to go south on the road from Jerusalem. There he came near the Ethiopian, who was sitting in his chariot, reading from the book of Isaiah. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to the chariot and stay near it." He did as he was instructed, and when he heard the man reading from Isaiah, he asked if he understood what it was that he was reading. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch said to Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Mission is a popular word in churches. So often in our churches, we do great mission work, but struggle to find the opportunities for evangelism or to know the difference between mission and evangelism. The word mission means to send, and evangelo means to announce, to tell the good news. Philip was engaging in evangelism, for he was telling the story, the good news of Jesus. We as the church sometimes shy away from evangelism because some of the ways it's been used in the past. And if we refine it to the modern context, we face a new and unique challenge of not only evangelizing to those who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ, but also to share authentically good news with those for whom the gospel has been misused. Against them, it's been weaponized to cause harm. Amid our own experiences with evangelism and the many doubts that we carry, Christ inspires and calls us to a life of faithful sharing with the assurance that when we go, He goes with us. The sermon text for today is a familiar one, known as the Great Commission. We have all heard it read and preached on many times. I want to look at it a little differently today. Let's take a look at it together. The 11 disciples went to the mountain near Galilee, where Jesus had told them to go. And he said there he would meet them. Then we read that even in the physical presence of the resurrected Christ, the disciples both worshiped and doubted. While most English translations say, "some doubted," the New Revised Standard Version just says, "they worshiped him, but they doubted," which follows the Greek text more closely. Perhaps this indicates that doubt, alongside worship, was more common. Go even amidst doubt if the disciples in the presence of Jesus had doubts, I submit that it's okay for us to question today. The church has long found its marching orders in the Great Commission, verses 19 and 20 of Matthew 28. Go and make disciples. Many scholars argue that translating this text, go, is not quite accurate. Instead, it could be argued that the word is more accurately translated, while you are going. You might ask, how does this change the sense of the passage? Well, I think that it means instead of evangelism being a task we are commanded to complete, we are instead being asked to live our very lives as a witness to the gospel in all that we do, meeting others where they are along the way. Even in the face of doubt, Jesus still said, go, or as you are going. You know, sometimes we find sharing faith a challenge because the world is doubtful of a higher power, of the teachings of the Bible, or of faith in one they cannot see. So we might well be talking with doubters. And how about ourselves? What are some of the doubts we may be struggling with? Doubts about whether they can make an impact, or whether anyone will listen, or how they might be received. Doubts about their abilities, or doubts about their own faith and belief. We do not have to be doubtless and perfect to start sharing the good news. Through our witnesses, our experiences in relationship with Jesus, and the stories of our faith, however imperfect they may be, God can inspire people to believe in the reality of Jesus Christ. So often when we talk about evangelism, there is a focus on getting everyone baptized into the church and doing as the text says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But theologian R.T. France describes how the more literal translation here would be baptizing them into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. While the call is clear to go, tell, make disciples, and baptize, one of the things that people often lack and are longing for is the relationship with God. It's not just about becoming a part of the church as an organization or an institution. Baptizing them into, as in Francis' translation, calls people into allegiance with the Trinity, and therefore into a lifelong relationship. I really like the "as we are going" translation. You know, evangelism is not like giving a flu shot. It's best when done over time. It's about being evangelism rather than doing evangelism. This can be the way that each of us approach sharing Christ's kindness in the world. Well, how might we do that? Sometimes the first step is showing love and kindness to all we encounter. The next step is not being afraid to say that the source of the light that shines within us is Jesus. You may ask, what might examples of that look like in our daily lives? Well, let me suggest a couple. How about listening when a friend or neighbor is going through something? How about letting others go first in a line? Or helping a neighbor with a project? Or handing out food in a food pantry? What would it look like if we, as the church, the big church, and us in our own local church, were to see our call to evangelize not as one task among many, but as an overall approach. Organizing our days from morning until night. Instead of being that daily witness who baptizes others into the Christ-filled life, imagine what that might look like. Our lives become shaped by the call to evangelize. Our evangelism or witness becomes an announcement, a telling, not just with words, but with our actions and our behaviors too. I think that a culture shift like this for our church begins to generate the same kind of excitement as invitations to a big celebration, where it's not just another thing we do. The Great Commission becomes the Great Invitation, one that all of us can rally around and help share this amazing good news. Amen.